There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, the phone number 855-853-4802. Of course, you can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can always email us your audio file. It's Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com to share your real ghost stories with us. So lots and lots of ways to get those stories to us on today's episode. Your calls as we listen to you guys tell the stories from your own perspective. As Tony and Jenny Bruschi join you once again.
Hi.
I'm going to just refer to myself. Is that first person?
And third person when you talk about yourself as if it's a separate person.
Okay. That's third person, uh-huh. Right? Okay. I'm going to do that more often.
Yeah.
It's kind of awkward and fun and weird.
Tony, very Bob Dole of you to do
Tony
that.
Tony feels kind of weird when I talk about myself in third person, but we'll see if Tony can get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Have you ever known anyone like in real life to do that other than like something you'd see on television? Like I'm talking actually having a conversation with a human being.
Do you think I would associate or even give anybody any attention that did that kind of bullshit?
No, I just mean in general. Like, I mean, it could be anything. It could have been like a former, like a coworker or anyone you had to interact with. Because you can't always choose who you get to have to interact with.
No, because I wouldn't have tolerated it. I would have informed them of what stupidity that is. They wouldn't have done it any longer once I was around.
The dog refers to himself sometimes in
and that's fine.
It's kind of odd.
Yeah,
when
I don't care.
When you're translating the dog. But anyhow, I thought it was rather interesting, or more so disturbing. One of the recent questions that we put up on our Facebook page was, what's the most disturbing smell you've ever encountered? And I've been going through and doing a bunch of video replies earlier in the day to that on the date of this recording. And overall, a lot of our listeners have had a lot of encounters with dead bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot. And I don't know. It wasn't anything, like, questionable. It was just more like, I work in the healthcare field. Or actually, more so was, like, kind of where they found people. Like, anywhere from a roasting in a dumpster on a hot summer day to the neighbor we thought was on vacation wasn't on vacation.
And, you know, that stuff happens more often than you think.
It does. You know, it's one of those things that probably just does not get brought up on anything other than a show like this.
Well, I told you about my brother. I don't think I shared about the listeners, but or shared to the listeners. But my brother, very first time living on his own, he rented a house.
Oh, yeah.
And it was in the summer, and he and his neighbor got to be buddies, and they kept noticing this vacant house, you know, which had been vacant for a while. There was like a dead animal smell coming from it, you know, and they just assumed it was like a skunk or something got up under there. Well, eventually it just got worse and worse to finally they called, and somebody had gotten up under the house trying to steal copper piping and accidentally electrocuted themselves, and it was dead under this house the whole time. So that kind of stuff happens. I mean, everybody probably knows somebody that's found a dead body or had some kind of run-in like
or
that.
Or had it happen themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I was kind of surprised. I was expecting maybe a handful of, you know, hey, I found a dead body story. But, oh, we got a lot of I found a dead body stories.
Yeah.
So if you're in the mood for a I found a dead body story, go ahead and
check out the comments.
Check out our comment section on our Facebook page. Just when you get that urge, you know, you're sitting around at night with your family, watching a nice show together, enjoying each other's company. And you just feel like, I need to go find a I found a dead body story. If you have that urge, seek help. But in the meantime, while you're waiting for that help, that's where you can go.
Yeah.
So there you
go. Or if you think your day is that bad, it might brighten your day to realize that's not what happened to you today.
It's not you. It's them in the dumpster roasting. Let's go to our first caller at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, guys. My name is Candace. I wanted to tell you a story today about... a ghost who I think is my grandma. I don't know that for sure, but it makes me feel better about it, being that I pretend it's her. She died in 2011, and I bought the house that my husband and I live in 2012. And I didn't have any occurrences in the house until my husband moved in with me, which was November 2013. And I turned 21 in December 2013. So he had bought me a bottle of wine for a 21st birthday present. And he had wrapped it up and he had hidden it in the basement. And I did not even know that it existed. I had no idea it was there. And it was up apparently on a top shelf in the basement, so our son could not reach it either. I went to go do laundry one day, and there was a bottle of wine inside of the washing machine with all of the wet clothes when I went to move them from the washer to the dryer. And I pulled out the wine, and I was really confused, so I asked my husband about it. And he said, well, where did you get that? That was wrapped, and it was in the basement. That was your birthday present. And neither one of us unwrapped it. Neither one of us put it into the washing machine. I'm glad it didn't break all over the laundry. But the spirit that I feel in our house is not at all malicious. There was another time that we were out in the backyard, and we were having a bonfire. And attached to our garage, we have a motion sensing light that when you get within like 20 feet, it'll turn on and stay on for a few minutes and then turn back off. And we were sitting outside, and I was sitting, so I was facing the light directly. And all of a sudden, it had been just off. And it started flickering on and off and on and off and on and off. And normally, if it turns on, it'll stay on for several minutes until nothing moved. But none of us were moving. We were just sitting next to the fire. And it kept turning on and off and on and off, flickering on and off. And finally, I said out loud, Grandma, that's enough. Knock it off. And as soon as I said that, it turned off and it stayed off. And to this day, it still does not work. That light does not work anymore. So those are our stories. I'll call in another time, but to tell you some more. But yeah, I hope it's my grandma. But if it's not, I don't mind it being there because it's not at all malicious. But it'll hide things from us, different things we need for work and different things like that. It's always playing jokes and pranks. And another time, my mother, who is a total non-believer. She was up in August 2013. I had my tonsils removed, and her and I were in the basement, and my son, who was probably 2013, so he would have been 2.5. He was upstairs sleeping on the couch, and my mother and I were in the basement, and all of a sudden, we heard feet run across the upstairs. And we looked at each other and we said, oh, Caden must be awake. So we walked upstairs and he was dead asleep. And it was pretty humorous seeing the size my mom's eyes got because, like I said, she's not a believer. So she was pretty freaked out, but it was nothing out of the ordinary for me. So I hope you guys liked the story, and I will call back again. Thank you.
I think sometimes you don't have any other evidence of who it is other than just that feeling of that's who it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's hard to explain.
And then you hope you're right.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be malicious, though, the spirit, because it stops when she asks it to.
That's true. That is a sign of a friendly ghost, mm-hmm. of a Casper.
A Casper.
that's hanging out in your residence. But, yeah, I mean, it's... I guess the only way I could kind of to go to the... Sometimes you just know what it is or know who it is. I mean, people kind of have that idea, you know, when you're in a building with someone, or if you're home alone, mm-hmm. or something, or you think you're home alone, and you hear the, for example, I'm downstairs, the door is upstairs to the house. Now, I can't always, you know, tell exactly who's here or who's not. Now, the only person who logically be coming in and out is going to be you.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, when we moved in, we had a lot of different things kind of done, contractors kind of coming and going with different things. Take this scenario for any place. You can kind of feel who is in the building with you, mm-hmm. without them even being in the same room. Mm-hmm. It's the same way you could tell if your eyes were shut what building you're in sometimes too. Just by sense, I mean smell, and there's elements that come to you.
They all play together.
Yeah. That just kind of give you the subtle hint of you know, who's there or where you are. So I think that may be part of this. And she's getting those cues without really even realizing it,
mm-hmm.
because they shouldn't be there.
Right.
So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another caller. Hi, you're on the show.
Hey, guys. It's Mike. I'm new to the podcast. I probably just found it about a month ago, so I'm trying to catch up, and I've really been enjoying it because I'm a huge horror fan, and I've had, as of last night, two experiences now with unexplainable things. So I'm going to share my stories real quick and, become a part of the family officially, I guess, by sharing this. So when I was a kid, about 5 or 6, I lived in the upstairs bedroom of my parents' place. And something about that upstairs bedroom made me really uneasy growing up, and I just hated it. When I was a kid, I would scream and cry all night trying to get out of the room, and I would leave the room so often to go try and stay the night with my parents in their bed that they installed or like bought those like child protective gates, and they so like wedges in between the doorways so I couldn't get out. But I would just climb over it and just scream and cry and climb over the gate and go try and stay with them again. And I guess I was so annoying that they bought 3 of them and they would stack them on top of each other so that the whole doorway was blocked. So I couldn't get out. So I would climb to the top of the thing and scream and cry all night, but I couldn't leave the room. And I remember the scariest thing that happened to me in that room that I remember today pretty clearly, because it was that terrifying, was... I would look into the bathroom, and in the doorway, there was like a silhouetted figure of a tall man wearing what looked like a cowboy hat or a top hat, but completely black. And I should have been able to make out features because he was right there, you know, right next, like the bathroom was connected to the bedroom, and the door was open all night, and I just looked in and I saw this figure standing there, silhouetted in the doorway, completely black. And the craziest thing was, so I'm getting chills, the craziest thing was he was walking towards me, like his legs were moving, but he wouldn't leave the boundary of the doorway. And so he was stationary, but looked like he was walking, trying to get out of the bathroom, but he was just there all night, for a whole night, just walking towards me, but not leaving the bathroom, just this silhouetted figure. And so that was the first time that I experienced something paranormal, I would say, until last night. So right now it's 5 in the morning. I got to work early. I'm sitting in the parking lot and I'm just waiting. But so I recently moved to Colorado Springs and got my first apartment. And so I moved from California to Colorado, got my first apartment. I've been living there for 2 weeks. And last night was pretty creepy. I love horror movies, like I said. I love scary things. So this didn't totally freak me out, but it definitely made me pretty uneasy. Kind of, yeah, it was scary. But so I went to bed around midnight and woke up a little while later because it was so hot. Like, I felt really hot, so I took some of the blankets off, half my body, and I was just laying there trying to go back to sleep. And so I fell back asleep, and then halfway between, like, sleep and awake, I hear footsteps from, like, right behind my head on the mattress. I have just a twin-size air mattress on the ground against the wall. But I hear footsteps from behind my head walking around to the left side of my mattress, which is against the wall, but I can hear it as if the wall wasn't there. So walking past my mattress on my left side down to the front of my mattress by my feet. And then the footsteps stop, and I just feel so uneasy. I feel like I'm being watched. I know that something just moved from behind me to the foot of my bed. And so I'm feeling pretty uneasy. And then my left leg, which has the blankets off of it, gets really cold all of a sudden out of nowhere. Like, this cold, chill breeze just blew into my apartment. And so the whole, like, left side of my body is pretty cold now. And it's at this point I realize I can't move. It must be, like, sleep paralysis, but I'm awake. And it feels like I've been sleeping for hours at this point. But now I'm awake and I can't move, and I know that something is standing at the foot of my bed. So my eyes are open and I'm just looking at the ceiling because I can't move. And then I start hearing the whispering, and I can't make out what it is. It's pretty unintelligible at first, but it starts getting louder as the minutes drag on until I can start making out what it's saying. And it's a female voice whispering, like, wake up, Mike, wake up. And at that point, I freaked out because now it knows my name somehow. So I hear my name getting called, and I just muster up all my strength trying to move, and I manage to say, please stop talking, like, as calmly, as sternly as I can, please stop talking. And I don't hear anything, and I'm laying there, but I still have that feeling of unease that I know something is right there, and I just know in my head that if I look down to the foot of my bed, I'm going to see something. I know she's going to be standing there. I'm freaking out because I'm like, I'm about to see another ghost. If I can somehow just figure out how to move my head down, I'm going to see a ghost. And so I'm straining with all my might. I just want to tilt my head down and look. And so I'm straining, and I finally manage to do it, and I break through, and I break the sleep paralysis, and I look down, and there's nothing there in the hallway to my bathroom. Nothing's there. All of a sudden, the feeling dissipates that I'm being watched, and it's just like all of a sudden it was there, and now it's gone. So my neck is actually pretty sore right now from straining so hard to look down, but it was definitely something that freaked me out last night. I called my wife, who's still in California, right away, but she was asleep. I just needed to tell someone, so I figured who better to tell than you guys. But those were my experiences, my two ghost stories, and I hope you enjoyed, because it freaked me out. Hopefully my apartment isn't haunted. I guess it's new, and I should have checked the history of the apartment when I got the place, but lesson learned. I'm gonna go talk to the renters, and we'll see what's going on. But it was definitely an experience. So thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed. I love the show, and I'll check in some other time. Bye.
And see, that's where I don't know if, now that I've had an experience, if I'd want to know the history. You know, it's kind of like, am I just haunted, or is this apartment haunted?
You could almost, you have like a moment where you can write it off as, maybe it's something else.
Yeah, maybe it's this thing that's always kind of been around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because you're kind of stuck. If it's a new apartment, you're stuck for a set amount of time.
And that's usually not a get-out-of-lease-free card.
No.
There's a ghost in the apartment. It usually doesn't fly very well. I've tried it, and it doesn't.
Have you?
No.
Okay.
I should have, though. There has been times where, especially back in the days of working in radio, where I'd move, and having apartments in radio is one of the worst things ever, because a lot of times it's not a month to month thing. It's, you know, you're signing for 6 months, 12 months. Well, guess what? It's like, you don't know when the hell this is going to end.
Yeah.
Even if you're like top of the ratings, you know, somebody comes in, oh, we're changing direction, and then you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how that messed up world works. So there was many a times where it's like, okay, well, I'm moving, or you find something better and you go on, and then you're like, oh, I got 3-4 months left on this apartment. I paid off many apartments that I didn't live in.
Oh, gosh.
For many months.
Yeah.
And I have a friend of mine, Gooch, who I don't know how many times he's done that. It would be very interesting to get a dollar figure,
mm-hmm,
of how much have you paid in rent for places you did not live in.
Yeah.
And because it's probably a lot.
But that's the nature of the beast in radio.
It is. Yeah. I mean, that's just how crazy that is. But I never thought of that. I never thought of like, I think there might be, can I get out of this lease? But the thing is, they'd probably say, well, let's just move your unit.
Yeah.
You know, no, I don't really, you know, then it wouldn't work. But hey, it's something to try. Has anyone ever tried that? That's what I should be asking. Has anyone ever tried using the ghost as a reason to get out of a lease or an apartment or whatever? If you have, share that story with us. I'd love to hear how that went. Or maybe you're needing an excuse right now, and here's one you can try.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know how that goes. Please report back. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure you check out our EPP stuff. Lots of good stuff up on the EPP website, which is Ghost Pod...
Ghost Podcast?
Boast Codcast.
That's great.
Boast Codcast. It's where we boast about the cod,
uh-huh,
that we've caught, and it's amazing. I caught a big 30 pounder,
mm-hmm,
it was a 30 pounder. It had horns.
Okay.
It was amazing cod. Ghostpodcast.com is where you go for that. And all of our bonus episodes, 120 some of those up there, all sorts of good stuff, exclusive video content. That's what keeps us on the air. It's only $5 a month, where you can sign up for a full year, get 1 month of that absolutely free, and a bunk bed bell sent directly to you as a little bonus there. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Hi.
Hey guys, it is Sheila in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, calling in with part three and the final part to what started it all for me in the paranormal. So we moved out of that house a few months after everything came to a big head. So we lived with a friend for a while, and it was actually really quiet. So it was nice to have a little bit of normalcy. After a few weeks of being there, we were able to get our own place. So we did move into our own apartment. And it was a two-story house, but the way that they had it split up was that the stairs going up was one apartment, and then everything from the bottom of the stairs down was the other person's apartment, and it was separated by a door. So, you know, we're just normal kids. We got to know our neighbors, and we did have bunk beds. And that's kind of when things started picking up again, was when we got the bunk beds. So we move in. Everything's good for a while, for maybe a couple of weeks. Well, go to school, come home, and we're just hanging out. And we go to bed a little while later. And my mom had to work late. She was a bartender. So we went to bed. I had the bottom bunk. My sister had the top. And that night, I had a very, very vivid dream. And it scared the crap out of me. In this dream, I was in a hospital bed. And there was a shadow person in the corner. And the only thing you could see at the current point were two red eyes. So as the shadow starts to move towards my bed, as I'm laying in the hospital bed, it looked like a cloaked figure. The only thing you could see was like a black cloak, like almost like a Grim Reaper style. So it gets closer and closer to the bed, and I can just see these two red eyes just burning a hole straight through into my soul. Meanwhile, my mom is off talking to probably, I think it was a doctor, who knows. But just as the figure got closer to me in the bed, I woke up. And so I said, oh, okay, it's just a dream, no big deal. It did scare me. And so I should mention as well, in that dream, I was very, very sick and the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. So a few days later, I go to school, come home, wasn't feeling all that well, so I went to bed. And after a couple of weeks of living there, my sister stopped sleeping on the top bunk for some reason. She started sleeping with my mom or in the living room, and she wouldn't tell anyone why. She just said that she wasn't comfortable and she was scared. We had no idea why she was scared because she didn't say anything. So anyway, I go to bed one night, and that night I go to bed, wasn't feeling so well, and wake up, and I had a fever, wasn't feeling so great. Mom took me to the ER because my breathing was real bad. So we go to the ER, and I had pleurisy, which is basically a nasty cold on the outside of your lungs. So the reason I was having the painful coughing was from basically this cold squeezing my lungs. So they gave me antibiotics and they said, you should be okay in, you know, in a few days. So a few days go by, I'm not really getting any better. Mom takes me to the pediatrician. At that point, I had a sinus infection and an inner and outer ear infection in both ears. So on top of the pleurisy, I had those other illnesses going on. So they gave me more antibiotics and a nasal spray and some other things to help me breathe. So I go home. After that, my mom gets my medications for me. Now at this point, I'm on countless medications and just wasn't really doing so good. I wasn't going to school because it was, you know, a little asinine for me to do that being super sick. So, didn't go to school. And then I remember I'm laying in bed and I wasn't feeling good. I drifted off. I was home alone and I had another vivid dream. And it was like the dream picked up where it left off. So I'm back into this hospital bed. Doctor can't figure out what's wrong with me, but this cloaked hooded figure with the red eyes are staring at me still. It reaches out its hand and it's like the hand is gross and disfigured, almost like you could, like wrinkly skin, almost super dry and leathery, like you could see through it almost, and these big huge claws. I started screaming because this thing started reaching its hand closer and closer to me, and as it gets closer, all of a sudden it just bears a hand into my chest and I wake up screaming. And my mom comes running in and asks me what the hell happened, and I told her about my dream, and she said, you know, maybe whatever it was that attached itself to you is back and it's attacking you at your lowest point because you're ill. And I said, okay. And so mom blessed my room and my bed and me, and I just went on being sick. Well, after a few more days go by, I woke up one morning not feeling good. I was nauseated and vomiting, so my mom took me to the hospital. I ended up being hospitalized for a week with strep throat, a sinus infection, double ear infection, pneumonia, and now scarlet fever. So I'm in there taking all these medications on an IV drip, and I saw the doctor come over and he said, Sheila, honey, how are you feeling? And when he looked at me, it was the cloaked head with the red eyes staring at me. I started screaming bloody murder, and my mom came running in and asked what was going on, and the doctor said, I think she's delirious from the fever, so gave me something to make me sleep. So I went to sleep. So after I got discharged from the hospital, my mom, a few weeks go by, she meets someone and we move in with this person. Now, bunk beds go with us. So we move in, we get everything set up. My sister still refuses to sleep on the top bunk. I asked her why. She told me that she doesn't sleep up there because every night a cloaked figure with red eyes stares at her all night while I'm on the bottom bunk asleep and talking in my sleep, but she can't understand what I'm saying. So something's going on, obviously. I'm having the vivid dreams with this thing in there and I'm sick, and then my sister won't sleep in there because this thing is staring at her all night. So it's like, what the hell's going on? So I had a sleepover one night. A friend slept over. She slept on the top bunk. She ended up going home at about 1 o'clock in the morning because a cloaked figure with red eyes was staring at her and it scared her. So she went home. My mom called her friend. Friend came over and she didn't even get in the house. She just said, whatever is attached to that bunk bed is trying to claim its next victim. She said that the bunk bed, somebody died in it at one point in time, and she didn't know who it was, but knew that it was a demon of sorts or some kind of a dark entity that basically took this person's life, is what she said. And that we had to get rid of the bunk beds or it was going to claim its next victim, which was me. So mom kind of laughed it off and said, okay, whatever. Mom comes in, blesses everything again. Things just don't get better. I'm apparently speaking a different language in my sleep at that point. So my mom, a few weeks later, brings in someone else. And it was a guy that she had known that was really good with blessings and exercising the home and things like that. So he came in to exercise the home. He came in, took one look at the bunk bed, and said, they have to go. If they don't, one of your children will die. And it will most likely be your oldest because it's already attached to her. So they took the bunk beds out into the middle of the yard. And we lived on a farm, so they took it out into the middle of the yard and start chopping it up. And he sets it on fire and starts chanting and some kind of a ritual blessing, getting rid of whatever it is. And after that, things got better. Whatever it was left me alone. But here I am, 31 years old. It didn't kill me, but it tried. And that's where my experiences started. I do have a lot more experiences, not all bad. I have some really, really good happy ones. And so I'll call those in at another time. But this dark entity also did push me off my bike. And I broke my wrist in consequence. So there was that piece of it too. But that is the last part of the evil story, the story that plagued my childhood. But thanks for being awesome and thanks for listening. Bye.
Well, I'm glad they were able to figure out it definitely was the bunk bed and got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that she didn't die, because my gosh, I can't think of how naturally you would get all those things at once that she had
and survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be quite the ordeal to go through. Is this the first time we've had a bunk bed bell or a bunk bed story where they were really able to attribute it to the bunk bed and destroy the bunk bed? I know we had one where there was something marked on it, so I guess that one would kind of count too.
Yeah, no, it's not the first, but we don't usually get the definitive yes.
Yeah.
It's the bed.
It's usually like it's part of the story. It seems to be an odd common element to the story. It's just rare that it's this is this.
Mm-hmm.
And very creepy. Just once again reinforcing the bunk bed, whatever it is, theory, creepiness, I don't know.
So I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Are bunk beds the same as loft beds?
What are loft beds?
Those are those kids' beds where the bed is up high, but then they have either a play area or a desk underneath.
If there's a bed beneath it, yes. If it's just the loft bed and then there's no bed below, no.
Not so much a bed underneath. Did I say bed? I meant a desk or a play area under it.
If it's just a play area, no.
Okay.
I think that's just an elevated bed. Mm-hmm. If you had a second bed below, yes. I know what you mean.
Okay.
Cause I think some of those are actually like interchangeable.
Yeah.
Where you can like either make it a bunk bed or you can have it be a play area or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a little different. I think the bunk bed is kind of required. Like you have to have the two beds.
Okay.
So that's just my definition of the bunk bed.
I didn't know if it just meant how elevated one of the beds was or not.
I don't know. I'm going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
That's my answer.
Okay.
Final answer. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny Brewski. This is Sarah. I am out of Northwest Arkansas. I just wanted to tell you guys a ghost story that has been, like, let's see, 5 years in the making. So my granddaddy died whenever I was a junior in high school, and I have seen him more than once. I know that he went to heaven, and I know that he's in a better place and everything, but he shows himself to me whenever I'm at a trying point in my life, and he just gives me strength and everything, and he's awesome. Still. So, the story that I'm going to tell you is that recently I've become more sensitive to the paranormal. I don't know whether it was after my pregnancy or after an emotionally abusive relationship or if it was a mixture of both. So, I've been working in a, sorry, I'm driving my blinker, a daycare, and there's a lot of emotions there, and if you don't have children, work at a daycare, it's a great form of birth control. And I was playing with the kids in our back room because it was after 5 and we were just ready for the parents to show up so we could clean our rooms and everything. But out of the corner of my eye, I kept seeing someone I thought was a real person. And I didn't see a face or anything. All I saw was like a torso and a pair of legs. And it was standing up really tall and I didn't feel anything off from it. Like it wasn't mean and it wasn't like malicious or anything, so I wasn't worried about it, and I just thought it was one of the kids, you know, it was following one of the kids. And I see a lot of stuff nowadays. I was driving home that same night, and my daughter was laughing in the back seat, which was really, really weird, because normally she's yelling at me because she's hungry. And, you know, it's after 5, it's dinner time, and she's a kid. She didn't know anything like, hey, wait, we're on our way home, you can hold off the, like, 10 minutes it takes to get home. No, she's screaming at me from the back of the car, right? But that night she was laughing, and I didn't know what she was laughing at. Maybe it was like a lights from the people following us, you know, she's a kid, so whatever. And I was in the middle of a job switch, so of course high stress situation, and we were looking for my social security card and we couldn't find it. And then that same night my mom found it. And it was actually buried in the bag that we knew that it was supposed to be, but it was covered up by my granddaddy's last will and testament. But after my mom found it, I was driving my car the next day to go drop it off at my new job and get all set up and everything, but I was just thinking about that, and my car radio got turned off. Like, it's, you know, you gotta hit the button. And I was driving, it's the middle of rush hour, like it is now. Normally both my hands are on the wheel, but luckily with stop and go traffic, it's not that big of a deal. So, but my car radio got turned off. I looked over at it and it wasn't like, it didn't get turned down. It got turned off, which was really weird. And I turned it back on. It was on the same stupid music. It's, the Baby Einsteins or Little Einsteins traveling music. And oh my gosh. Ugh, barf. But, it was just really strange, and I was thinking, I was like, wow, I got a ghost following me right now, and it's like, a lot of stuff happened, like, the house got locked while my dad was outside, and I was in the kitchen cooking, and the house locked itself, and my dad and I kind of looked at each other like, a ghost, and, it wasn't actually until, let's see, it's Friday, so it was actually until, like, Thursday night that I actually realized that it was my grandfather. Because I made a really weird joke. I said, you know, since Granddaddy and I had such a good connection, I wouldn't be surprised if Brooklyn knew who he was. You know, like, he's going to show up and he's going to check on her. I think that's what was happening. And it was really, really weird. Thanks. I hope this airs on your show. And if it doesn't, Tony, you should totally do more Kenny Rogers covers. That is all. Bye.
There you go. If it doesn't, I should do more Kenny Rogers cover.
Oh my gosh. That's the funniest thing I've heard a listener say in a long time.
Lady.
No, don't.
Oh my not. I'm your not, you're my not.
Yeah.
That's kind of creepy. Lady.
No, I thought we were going to sing the Little Einsteins theme song.
Little Einsteins. I like to make up obscene words to the children's songs.
That's Caillou.
I do make up horrible words for Caillou.
It's hilarious.
I don't get that one at all. Anyway.
No, I mean, I guess only time will tell with that, if it is the grandfather or not. And she seems pretty confident that it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always curious is, what I'm curious of is, how long does that go on? Is it just like for a period of time and then it stops and they've gone on, or is it going on forever? And that's one of those things, obviously, we don't know. You know, when you lose a grandparent like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times it's a lot of activity right after it's happened, and then it kind of fades off.
It sounds like just, it's an ongoing thing. It's almost like a guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. I could see there being some confusion until you get a little more definition. You know, as far as who it is and what it is and why it is. And it's good that she finally got it there.
Where did Kenny Rogers covers come from?
I don't know.
No, you can't do that.
I just know they come from the heart.
I'm taking my headset off and I'm leaving the room.
No, this is... I answered. Kenny Rogers covers, they come from the heart because...
You can't play this on the show.
I hit the post. You're right. I can't. There you go. Kenny Rogers.
We do a pretty good Islands in the Stream karaoke, though.
We should live stream that sometime.
Live stream our drunk karaoke. It'd probably be our most viewed post.
It probably would be. That'd be quite a post to see. Yeah. Maybe some night you'll get that, folks. That's another reason to follow us on Facebook. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. Of course, you can also support the show by being an EPP for a full year and get the one of those months absolutely free and get a bunk bed bell as well. You get the monthly thing or the year thing. It's up to you. Year thing, you get the bell.
Yeah.
And you can ding along at home because obviously today the bunk beds came out. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brisky, I'm Tony Brisky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.